And welcome back. It's another Monday. Where, oh, where did the weekend go? And in just a couple days, I'll probably be asking, where did the week go? And that's how fast things are going. A guest tonight with great credentials. We're going to learn a lot in the first hour about how to become healthier, very simply. It has to do with vitamin D. Vitamin D, it's not really a vitamin. We'll find out more about that in a minute. Vitamin D deficiency is the most common medical condition in the world. Now think about that. Vitamin D deficiency is the most common medical deficiency, a condition in the world. In America alone, over 200 million people in this country lack sufficient levels of vitamin D and may consequently suffer from chronic health problems ranging from daily annoyances like fatigue and pain to life-threatening illnesses such as diabetes, heart disease, and cancer. But few people know why vitamin D is so important and what they can do to avoid the myriad ailments associated with deficiency, including heart disease, as I said, cancer, and osteoporosis. There is no better person to demystify the vitamin and showcase its place in human health than author Michael F. Holick, MD, PhD, the father of modern vitamin D research, with more than three decades spent studying the relationship between vitamin D, limited sun exposure, and human well-being. Dr. Holick shares his findings on how combining the natural curative properties of the sun along with small lifestyle changes and how they can help everyone to live a substantially healthier, and I might add, longer life. This is a very important issue. Again, my guest is Michael F. Holick, PhD, MD. He is the director of the General Clinical Research Unit and professor of medicine, physiology, and biophysics at Boston University's Medical Center. He's an extraordinary man, and we're very honored to have him on the program. Hi, Michael. Thank you very much for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
What exactly is vitamin D? It's not a traditional vitamin in the sense that most people think about it. It does so much more than that.
Yeah, as you had pointed out, vitamin D is really been a misnamed because a vitamin means that you can only get it from your diet. When we know that when you're exposed to sunlight, you make vitamin D in your skin. So by definition, vitamin D is really a hormone. And we now recognize that once you make vitamin D in your skin, it actually journeys to your liver and then finally to your kidneys where it gets activated. And it's that activated form that's responsible for maintaining calcium metabolism in your bone health.
Activated in the kidneys? How unusual.
Yes, in fact, it is very unusual, and everybody had assumed that because vitamin D worked on telling the intestine to absorb more dietary calcium, they just assumed many years ago that the intestine made it. But what was curious was even 40 years ago, it was appreciated that patients with kidney disease had a resistance to vitamin D and had severe bone disease. And once we realized that the kidneys activated vitamin D, the light went on, and it was obvious why patients with kidney disease had bone disease. And as a result of using activated vitamin D, you can actually treat patients with chronic kidney disease and help prevent them from getting bone disease as a result of it.
The book is entitled The Vitamin D Solution, and I would urge all of you to get a copy of it. This is one of those hallmark, benchmark books that can save your life. And if you have a catastrophic illness, don't count vitamin D out, along with lifestyle changes, in terms of a key method of regaining vibrant and vigorous health. It is a three-step strategy to cure our most common health problems, the vitamin D solution. If you click on Dr. Holick's name, you go right to the Amazon.com page where the book is available. Five-star rating, of course, no big surprise there. 30 years in the field of vitamin D. When did you first trip on this? Rather unknown, it was until it became hot about a year ago. Very few people knew about this.
Yeah, I was in the right place at the right time. I was a graduate student at the University of Wisconsin, and my first project was to identify the major circulating form of vitamin D in human blood. And I identified it as 25-hydroxyvitamin D. It turns out to be the major circulating form of vitamin D, and that's the vitamin D that doctors order to determine a person's vitamin D status.
Uh-huh.
And then I went on, and again, was just lucky to be the one to identify the active form of vitamin D as 1,25-dihydroxyvitamin D. And my roommate and I then, while as graduate students and postdoctoral fellow, actually chemically made it.
Huh.
And then we gave it to kidney failure patients that were wheelchair-bound, and they started walking again. So that was my introduction to vitamin
D. That must have blown your mind to see that.
And then when I finished, I was interested in finding an area that most people thought they knew about, which was, how do you make vitamin D in your skin when you're exposed to sunlight? And I realized that we didn't know anything about this. What time of day, season of the year, latitude, skin pigmentation, aging impacted on it. And so I spent the past 30 years investigating that and other areas of vitamin D.
200 million Americans are deficient all the time. I have heard that many people, I guess, assay for 30 to 50 IUs at any given time in their system, especially in the winter time. 30 to 50 units, that's it. Is that a fair estimate as in terms of some people's deficiency level?
The what you're looking for is the 25-hydroxyvitamin D level that your doctor orders, and anything below 30 is considered to be either insufficient or deficient. And to give you some perspective, we looked at pregnant women at our hospital, 40 mother-infant pairs, and the neonatologist assumed that these women were going to be sufficient because they were taking a multivitamin containing 400 units, drinking 2 glasses of milk a day, getting on average 600 units a day.
Uh-huh.
At the time that they gave birth, 76% of moms and 81% of newborns were vitamin D deficient. We went on to show that during pregnancy with Dr. Bodner in Pittsburgh, that preeclampsia, the most serious form of complication during pregnancy, was associated with vitamin D deficiency.
Mm.
And we also know that vitamin D is important for muscle strength. And so when we looked at over 400 women giving birth, that those women that were vitamin D deficient had a 400% increased risk of requiring a C-section in order to give birth.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a study recently done by the government looking at the population at large, and they looked at children 1 to 5 years of age. They found that 50% were deficient or insufficient. Children. 6 to 11 years of age, 70% deficient or insufficient. It's estimated that 50 million teenagers in the United States are deficient or insufficient. They have a 2.4-fold increased risk of having high blood sugar, 2.5-fold increased risk of having high hypertension or high blood pressure, and a 4-fold increased risk of getting pre-type 2 diabetes.
So
that's
this,
just for starters.
Yeah, now this pandemic of diabetes is actually worldwide, but let's talk about it here in the United States. Now, your research and your findings suggest that a chronic deficiency in this hormone, vitamin D, could be the underlying cause in much of early childhood and early adult diabetes. Is that true?
Well, there's a study that was done in Finland back in the 1960s. They were giving children 2,000 units of vitamin D a day during their first year of life.
Right.
They were followed for 31 years, reduced their risk of getting type 1 diabetes by 88%.
Well, I'll take it.
A study done by an investigator out of Tufts, Dr. Pittas, looked at our NHANES data. It's the National Health Nutrition Survey.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed that the men and women that were taking at least 800 units of vitamin D a day and 1,000 milligrams of calcium reduced risk of type 2 diabetes by 33%.
Wow, amazing. Stand by. We'll be right back with Dr. Michael F. Pollack, Ph.D., M.D., the Director of General Clinical Research Unit and Professor of Medicine, Physiology, and Biophysics. Wow. At Boston University's Medical Center. right back in just a couple. Okay, and we're back. The Vitamin D Solution is the name of the book by Dr. Michael F. Hulick, MD, PhD. Now, the human body is a machine for producing this hormone, which we call a vitamin. In the summer, I guess under proper conditions, the body in a swimsuit can produce up to 1,000 units a minute of vitamin D. That's the information I have. Is that an accurate or at least quasi-accurate number?
Yeah, it turns out that it depends upon time of day, season of the year, latitude, and degree of skin pigmentation.
Sure.
But for a white person in a bathing suit out on the beach, getting what we call a minimal erythemal dose, it's a light pinkness to your skin 24 hours later, so it's not a sunburn.
Uh-huh.
We did the study and showed that it's equivalent to taking about 15,000 to 20,000 units of vitamin D. So, yes, when you're exposed to sunlight, you instantly begin making vitamin D in your skin. And that's why my recommendation, as I point out in the vitamin D solution, at the end there's several pages that have tables telling you anywhere on the globe, any time of the year, how long to stay outside. It's exposed like arms and legs or abdomen and back,
mm-hmm.
maybe about 5 or 10, 15 minutes between the hours of 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. Don't ever expose your face. Most sun exposed, only 9% of your body surface, so it doesn't provide you with very much vitamin D. Followed by good sun protection. Take advantage of the beneficial effect. Prevent the damaging effects from excessive exposure.
That suggests the body revels in lots of vitamin D. Now, I take about 8,000 units a day. Very good source. And am I in a good position?
I think that we've done studies and showed that even healthy adults in the wintertime in Boston taking 1,000 units a day was inadequate. But if you're taking about 3,000 to 4,000 units a day,
mm-hmm.
it's usually enough to satisfy your vitamin D requirement.
Mm-hmm.
If you're obese, you need 2 to 3 times as much. And so some people will need, 5 or 6,000 units of vitamin D to satisfy the requirement.
Right.
But most importantly for toxicity, we know that you have to take more than 10,000 units a day before you have to worry about toxicity.
So it's relatively safe. I've seen studies that, and so have you, that are many multiples of 10,000, and they're apparently, in some cases, very good results with no side effects. So, but you're talking about the average person 4,000 to 5,000 units a day.
Correct. Yeah, I personally take 3,000 units a day, and we just published a paper in my patients for 6 years, getting on average 3,000 in units a day, and
right.
they all had robust, healthy levels of 25-hydroxy vitamin D.
Wow, very good. Okay, what are some of the key health issues that vitamin D deficiency is tied to? And you don't have to cite paper necessarily or a reference,
sure.
but just in general.
I mean,
you mentioned cancer, and we talked about diabetes, but I mean, cancer, 1 out of 2 people are confronting cancer now, and that's a huge issue. So how does vitamin D, for example, work into the cancer equation?
Sure. So I think, first of all, your listeners may be saying, yeah, vitamin D, it's just like vitamin A and selenium and vitamin E. They've not really had, long-term benefits after studies have been done. But unlike these, this hormone, vitamin D, every tissue and cell in your body has a vitamin D receptor and therefore needs it for maximum health.
Uh-huh.
We showed many years ago, and others have, is that active vitamin D is made locally in your intestine, breast, colon, prostate, brain. And we think that it makes it to regulate genes that control cell growth. So it helps prevent cancer. Studies have shown that if you are vitamin D deficient, mm-hmm. you have 50% higher risk of getting colon, prostate, and breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
There's a study done in Nebraska showing that women that took 1,100 units of vitamin D a day plus 1,500 milligrams of calcium reduced risk of all cancers by 60%. 60% in 4 years.
That's incredible.
We also know that vitamin D is very important for your immune system,
mm-hmm.
and we believe that it helps to modulate your immune system and to help reduce risk of getting autoimmune diseases
mm-hmm.
like multiple sclerosis and rheumatoid arthritis and type 1 diabetes. There was a study done, a nurse's health study out of Harvard, where nurses that took the most vitamin D reduced their risk of getting multiple sclerosis by 42%. Women in Iowa, in Iowa's Women's Health Study, showed increasing their vitamin D intake reduced their risk of getting rheumatoid arthritis by about 44%.
These are staggering percentages.
This we also know that vitamin D is very important in helping fight infections. And there was a study done out of California. Dr. Maudlin and Dr. Adams showed
mm-hmm.
that your immune cells, they're called macrophages,
yes.
they gobble up infective agents.
Right.
Well, as soon as they're infected, say like with a TB bacterium, that they immediately turn on the production of active vitamin D, which then tells the cell to make proteins, defensive proteins, that
mm-hmm.
kill these infective agents. There was a study done in Long Island where they gave women 2,000 units of vitamin D a day for a year,
mm-hmm.
reduced risk of upper respiratory tract infections by 90%. A study done in Japan just recently published school children that were taking 1,200 units of vitamin D a day from December through March of this past year and looking at their risk of getting influenza A infection compared to the group that got the sugar pill,
mm-hmm.
reduced their risk of getting influenza A infection by 50%.
Wow. Well, just extraordinary data. I've also heard that vitamin D's abilities actually include the switching off, if that's the proper construction of the term, of the genetic signals which allow cancer to grow. Is that true?
That is true, and also it turns on genetic signals to tell the cell to stop becoming malignant,
uh-huh.
And can induce cell death if the cell doesn't behave.
Got it. Wow, amazing. All right, hold on, gang. Be right back with Dr. Holick in just a couple minutes. Okay, and we're back talking with Dr. Michael Hollick. Now, the idea of sun exposure, it can be very tricky and problematic. If you're out in the sun, the atmospheric conditions can change. People have, as you mentioned, and it's obvious, many different skin types. The indoor tanning industry has for years absorbed a terrific beating from the FDA. And I have found that to be particularly offensive because well-operated, professionally operated indoor tanning with good equipment can be the answer for many people's needs to stay at the peak of their game. I don't know that you can just take vitamin D as a supplement and get the same reaction as you can from sunlight. Let's get that on the table and deal with that right now if we can.
Sure. First, in the book, I make it very clear that I don't advocate tanning, but I also make it clear that for those that wish to tan, that they should do it responsibly, which means that they should never get a burn.
Of course.
And to go in for the recommended time that the manufacturer has. I've had a lot of people that have asked me whether they could and should use a tanning bed for their vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
And I point out to them that if they wish to go to a tanning bed to get their vitamin D, especially in the wintertime, that they can go in for about 50% of the time recommended for tanning in a bathing suit and to wear sun protection on their face.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very effective in raising blood level. We did a study in tanners a couple of winters ago and looked at their blood levels of 25-hydroxy vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
And on average, it was about 50 nanograms per ml. For non-tanners, matched for sex and age, on average, 18 nanograms per ml. So the non-tanners were all vitamin D deficient. The tanners were vitamin D sufficient. And when we looked at their bone density, their bone density was higher in the tanners compared to non-tanners.
Well, now, that's huge. How can that be? What is the facility and mechanism by which a tanner, a properly exposed session in an indoor tanning salon or outdoors, leads to stronger bones?
Well, there's actually a study, again, done by our government, the NHANES data, and Dr. Bischoff-Ferrari showed that if you look at Mexican-Americans, African-Americans, and whites, and look at their vitamin D status and relate it to their bone density, the higher their vitamin D status, higher was their bone density, which was consistent exactly what we saw in the tanners. We know that if you have adequate vitamin D on board, it actually improves muscle strength, reduces risk of falling, and it can increase or maintain your bone density. I have many patients that I see in my clinic in their 50s and early 60s
mm-hmm.
that have, when they get a bone density done by their doctor, concerned about either what's called osteopenia, a little bit of bone loss, or osteoporosis, where they're at increased risk of fracture, and often putting them on adequate calcium, adequate vitamin D, walking 3 to 5 miles a week can often help maintain their bone mineral density. So it works quite well. Vitamin D deficiency will precipitate and exacerbate osteoporosis, but it also causes a bone disease known as osteomalacia. And unlike osteoporosis, which is basically holes in your bones,
mm-hmm.
which does not cause bone pain, osteomalacia does. It causes throbbing, aching bone pain.
Mm.
And often these patients are misdiagnosed as having fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome,
sure.
or they're simply written off as being depressed and drug-seeking.
They give them SSRIs nowadays for that.
That's
you need,
for sure.
You need antidepressants and you'll feel better. Well, that's a tragic side to the bone issue I hadn't heard before. Okay, so if someone takes 3,000, 4,000 units a day, gets proper sun exposure, they should not run into osteoporosis nearly as easily as otherwise. Now, there are also people who suggest that our diet of animal protein, whether it's cottage cheese, milk, yogurt, meat, causes an acidic condition in the blood that the body responds to by dumping minute amounts of calcium from the bones to neutralize the terribly acid blood condition. Any truth to that in your research?
Well, I've not done that research, but others have, and there is some truth to it. But the other side of the coin is that you do need a reasonable amount of protein
sure.
to keep your bone cells active and healthy. So if it, so you, what you need to do is just like anything else in life, even just like sun exposure, mm-hmm. moderation.
But it doesn't have to be animal protein. It can be solid, full protein from other sources as well. And there are some.
That's correct. Yes.
All right. I just didn't want people to think they had to eat fast food burgers to get enough protein. You can do it many other ways. I'm a vegan, have been for a long, long time, and there's some very complete proteins out there that are in the vegan world. Okay. So, in general, the idea that people have been so in the dark for such a long time about vitamin D is being solved somewhat by your classic book, The Vitamin D Solution. But other than that, how do we get the word out to people? How are you trying to do it?
Well, like being on your program,
yes,
trying to get the message out to the public at large, which is why I wrote The Vitamin D Solution, because I realized I've given lots and lots of talks to physicians. And
do they get it? Do they understand? I mean, physicians are notoriously poor, frankly.
By
in
the
terms
time
of,
I'm finished with my presentation, they'll get into their SUV, go to a local drugstore, and buy all the vitamin D supplements off the shelf.
Ah, I believe that. Very good. All right, stand by. Be right back. Our final segment coming up with Dr. Michael F. Hollick, PhD, MD, and his book, The Vitamin D Solution. Okay, and welcome back. The most common medical condition in the world is vitamin D deficiency. A medical condition. This is a medical condition, not just a vitamin deficiency. That's amazing. One of the reviews of the book, Vitamin D Solution, says, learning about vitamin D from Michael Hollick is like learning the art of magic from Harry Houdini. That's quite a compliment, doctor. I like that. Let's talk about, you're welcome. Let's talk about reversing major diseases. Now, we don't want to use the cure word here, but in point of fact, people are made better by proper nutrition and certainly proper vitamin D intake. Can you give us a couple of stories of people perhaps who have had cancer? Now, I've read studies, the results of studies, about prostate cancer, for example, and how vitamin D actually switches off the process in many cases. Now, that's a miracle cure, but it isn't a miracle at all because it's as natural as falling off a log. I mean, vitamin D and sunlight. We used to spend a lot of time outdoors 100 years ago. People were outside all the time. And now we have doctors actually sending people with seasonal adjustment disorder, or SAD, to good indoor tanning salons to get exposure to ultraviolet radiation in proper amounts to build the vitamin D in their bodies. And it works. It's a mood elevator, too. So tell us, if you would, a little bit more about the cancer issue and proper levels of vitamin D.
Sure. I think that what I make very clear in the vitamin D solution is that what you really care about is making sure you have adequate vitamin D on board from birth until death. Because what vitamin D does is it helps prevent these serious chronic diseases that we've talked about. I do know from my own personal experience that patients with multiple sclerosis, especially when they first start having symptoms, if we put them on a reasonably good dose of vitamin D, mm-hmm. A, it improves their muscle function so they mm-hmm. feel better, and B, that it prolongs their honeymoon period. We know that if you're vitamin D deficient, you have a 50% higher risk of having a heart attack, higher risk of having many of these common cancers that we've talked about. People that have cancer often don't feel well. They're not outside very much. They don't get very good diet because they have upset stomach because of the chemotherapy. And giving them vitamin D can often improve, like you said, their mood. They just feel better. They have stronger stamina. And as a result, it's possible that they actually can respond better to the chemotherapy. So I recommend to all my patients that they increase and maintain adequate vitamin D from birth until death. There was one study that actually showed that if you increase your vitamin D intake, that you actually have a less likelihood of dying. And so, like I said, it really is important as a preventative measure, much mm-hmm. more so than as a treatment measure once these diseases take hold. But it's no reason not to increase your vitamin D intake, because it may help you fight these diseases, especially, you know, if you're on other medication or other forms mm-hmm. of treatment.
How does it interface with mood, attitude, happiness,
sadness? Yeah, it turns out that there's vitamin D receptors in the brain, and it turns out that vitamin D plays a role in the production of serotonin.
Oh, it does.
And we know that, of course, serotonin is a very important neurotransmitter in the brain that makes you feel good. Mm-hmm. So we believe that, that's a significant part of it. We also know that if you're out in the sun and you feel really well, one of the mechanisms, as I point out in the vitamin D solution, is that you make beta endorphin in your skin, which of course is the endogenous opiate that gives runners their high when they're running.
This is from sunlight.
Their brain is making it. Yeah.
So sunlight actually does make you feel better. It's like a drug in a way, I guess.
It makes you feel better, and like I said, makes beta endorphin in your skin, and we believe that that may be one of the mechanisms why you feel better, separate from the overall benefit of vitamin D, because it, like I said, improves muscle function. It aches and pains in bones and muscles often are resolved, and people just have a better mood as a result of having exposure to sunlight or getting vitamin D.
Have you seen major disease, a cancer, for example, or cancers, turned around simply by having someone get on vitamin D? I'm not a fan of chemotherapy, radiation, surgery, and all that, but just the vitamin D itself, have you seen it turn cancers around, or at least hold them in abeyance?
I've not seen them turned around, but many of my patients that I've seen that have had breast and prostate and colon cancer and have had surgical intervention or other traditional therapies, if I put them on vitamin D, it seems to stabilize them. Whether, you know, it's helping in a significant way in preventing any further advancement, we don't know. But we did do a study in mice, and we showed that if you make a mouse vitamin D deficient and you give them colon cancer, that their tumor grows 40% faster than simply having vitamin D on board. So we do believe that vitamin D plays an important role in inhibiting cancer cell growth and maybe preventing cancer from spreading.
So metastasization or metastasis is another one that vitamin D can intercede.
It may, yeah. I mean, like I said, there aren't any really good studies done in people because it takes a long time, you know, for that to develop. But certainly we can do it in animal models and demonstrate very nicely that what we predict in humans, we can see in animal models for both prostate cancer and colon cancer.
What causes, in your view, this incredible epidemic of reproductive cancers? Is there anything in particular that you look to? Environmental causes, diet causes, is it one of those all of the above things? Why so many breast cancers and prostate cancers now? What's going on?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I think we don't know whether there's some environmental insult that, you know, is mimicking estrogen or testosterone that may be, you know, stimulating the breast cells ultimately become malignant and prostate cells become malignant. But what we can say is that they did a study in Scandinavian countries and showed that men that worked outdoors had a 3 to 5 year hiatus before they developed prostate cancer compared to their coworkers that were working indoors. We also know that, contrary to what you might think, that melanoma, the most deadly skin cancer, is that occupational sun exposure decreases your risk of melanoma.
Uh-huh.
A study done in Navy personnel in San Diego showed that Navy personnel that worked indoors were more likely to get melanoma than Navy personnel that worked outdoors.
Well, how is it that melanoma? How did melanoma get the rap that it was caused by overexposure to the sun? Did that come from?
Sure. I mean, it is true. The major risk factors for melanoma include being redheaded, having a large number of moles on your body, and number of sun-burning experiences as a child, teenager, and young adult.
That's where you peel, that kind of thing?
Yes.
Where the skin peels?
Sunburn. Yeah.
Yeah. Why?
Well,
why can't the body recover from a few sunburns?
What's curious, of course, is that most melanomas occur on the least sun-exposed areas, as I point out in the vitamin D solution.
Huh.
And so you can't just say that it's from sensible sun exposure. In fact, like I said, occupational sun exposure decreases mm-hmm. your risk of melanoma. Non-melanoma skin cancer, however, which is found on the face, for example, and the top of your hands, mm-hmm. you know, is often due to chronic excessive exposure to sunlight.
Can or have there been any studies indicating or suggesting that people with melanoma who do get proper exposure to sun might get a little better or at least stabilize? So can
There's
sun...
actually a study that was done by Dr. Berwick, and she showed that if you had the most sun exposure as a teenager and young adult
uh-huh.
and developed melanoma later in life,
yes.
you are more likely to survive the melanoma. So we do believe that vitamin D on board may help reduce risk, and more importantly, if you are to get melanoma, it may help keep it in check.
I read somewhere that somebody was treating, maybe it was in the UK, treating various kinds of melanoma, I assume it would be the skin variety, although it can be anywhere in the body, with ultraviolet light in limited doses. To try, I guess, that maybe they didn't know what they were doing. Maybe they didn't know it was bringing the vitamin D levels up in the body.
It's a possibility. I'm not aware of those studies.
Yeah, I did read a story on it and actually posted it on my site at one point. So let's, in our last minute here, help people generally understand. First of all, get the book, The Vitamin D Solution. All the charts and tables are there. They'll tell you the pages speak volumes, and Dr. Hollick's book is a true classic. But the book will tell you what to do. Is there a form of vitamin D that people should look for in the stores? It's not very expensive.
Good question. And so there's this issue of vitamin D2 versus vitamin D3.
Yes.
And our experience, we showed that vitamin D2 is as effective as vitamin D3 in
really?
Maintaining your vitamin D status.
Oh.
And also, curiously, mushrooms, especially UV light exposed mushrooms, is a mm-hmm. good source of vitamin D. It's number two on the USDA chart for natural sources.
Hmm.
Wild-caught salmon is also a good source of vitamin D. And then there are some foods out there that are fortified with vitamin D as well, including orange juice and, of course, dairy products.
So the fortifying is okay?
Yes.
Not a problem.
The problem is that there's only 100 units in a serving.
Yeah.
So if you need 2,000 to 3,000 units a day,
right.
it's good to get from natural sources and from fortified foods, but you really need to take a supplement and to get some sensible sun exposure in the spring, summer, and fall.
Oh, absolutely.
If you live above Atlanta, Georgia, you can't make any vitamin D in your skin from November through February.
Hmm. Well, thank you very much for being here tonight. This is crucial information. I hope everyone gets the book, The Vitamin D Solution. Thanks for your work, Michael. I don't know how to even estimate how many lives you've improved with your research and your dedication. Thank you, sir, very much.
My pleasure, Jeff. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Dr. Michael Hollick, PhD, MD, is an amazing man, and the book is just extraordinary, The Vitamin D Solution. All right, we'll be right back with more.
He's not the man.